Here it is!
From deep inside your audio device of choice.
Ladies and gentlemen, in case you think the news here in the United States is depressing, I would point in contrast to the United Kingdom. Yeah, they had an election too this week. Turned the party situation upside down. Conservatives who've been in power for 14 years lost badly to the Labour Party. But also in the news over there, the King, King Charles, has ended, after a couple hundred years, the royal patronage, support, endorsement of pigeon racing. I said pigeon racing. Meanwhile, over here, of course, Joe Biden, on his notorious interview with George Stephanopoulos, didn't really know whether he'd watched a repeat tape of the notorious debate. Finally said no. And, you know, if you've been paying attention, and I know you have, you know that the White House has issued a string of explanations for Biden's performance during the debate. It was a cold. It was too much jet travel. Most recently, it was too much detailed debate prep. They left out the one most obvious choice.
The dog ate my debate.
Hello, welcome to the show.
Yeah.
Santa Monica, California, home in the homeless. I'm Harry Shearer, welcoming you to this edition of the show, reminding you that you're not so safe.
Looks like must close.
A big thanks, Elon. I think those of us on Earth owe the head of SpaceX. NASA confirmed a hunk of space junk as big as a car. As big as a car hood, was found in North Carolina. It belonged to a SpaceX Dragon capsule, according to an agency statement shared on Elon Musk's own X. The Dragon capsule is a reusable spacecraft that carries astronauts and cargo to and from the International Space Station, but a part of it, called the trunk, isn't reusable. It's discarded just before the capsule returns to Earth. Welcome back, trunk. That trunk is what ended up crash landing on a trail at a mountaineering resort just outside of Asheville, Oregon, a couple months ago. Quote, it was just wild. It was crazy looking, said groundskeeper Justin Clonies, who stumbled on the large debris and told of his experience to space.com. No one was injured from the impact. But the space junk shouldn't have been there in the first place, NASA said in its statement that evaluations of Dragon's initial design showed that it should fully break up in Earth's atmosphere. I blame the atmosphere. That's not what happens every time. Similar chunk of Dragon trunk, good writing, Business Insider, was found in Franklin, North Carolina in June. Another landed in a farmer's field in Saskatchewan, up Canada way, in April. And it's, let's be fair to Elon, it's not just SpaceX junk falling to Earth. A 2-pound piece of debris slightly smaller than a soda can fell from the International Space Station back in March, crashing through a family's roof in Florida. Family is now suing NASA. These recent accidents underscore how difficult it can be to predict and model when space debris will and will not burn up in Earth's atmosphere. Improving these models, obviously more important than ever as we put more stuff up there. It was all supposed to burn up in the atmosphere. As I say, the atmosphere hasn't cooperated. In fact, space junk has been falling out of the sky since the 1960s. A record-breaking 2,664 objects, including satellites, spacecraft, landers, and more, were sent from Earth to or beyond Earth's orbit last year. Quote, once these things die, they're just abandoned. It's just like orbiting trash. And then it's up to Mother Nature to figure out how the thing re-enters. Unquote. Moriba Jha, associate professor of aerospace engineering at the University of Texas. They got a Jha's referring to uncontrolled re-entries when space debris free falls to Earth with no one controlling its course. Modeling uncontrolled re-entries involves a lot of uncertainty. Huh. And is therefore more complex than modeling controlled reentries. In those, rockets guide the debris trajectory, ensuring it lands in a safe area like the ocean. Sorry, fish. For uncontrolled stuff, all bets are off because you don't necessarily know what the orientation of the object is as it hits the atmosphere or how it's tumbling, said Jha. Uncontrolled reentry typically happens to smaller chunks of space debris that are expected to break up in the atmosphere before reaching the ground. Even though the space debris is relatively small compared to car-sized satellites, it's not harmless because it's moving at thousands of miles per hour before impact. If the piece of debris that crash landed outside Asheville, North Carolina last month, or actually in May, had landed on a person, it would certainly have killed him. While the chances of space debris hitting a person are astronomically low. A 2022 study published in the peer-reviewed journal Nature estimated there's about a 10% chance one or more people will be struck by space junk within a 10-year period. I don't want to be that person. NASA, in its statement, says it'll use the debris recovered from the mountaintop resort in North Carolina to improve debris modeling. Tell your daughter not to go into that. Now, news of the land of 4,000 princes, our freedom-loving friends in Saudi Arabia. Trump Organization, guess what they're doing? They're constructing a Trump Tower building in Jeddah, Saudi Arabia. In partnership with a Saudi-owned developer, of course, the Trump Organization effort expands its influence into the Middle East. Comes after, as you know, the Saudi government invested $2 billion with the former president's son-in-law, Jared Kushner. Clean hands all around, wouldn't you say? The building becomes the Trump Organization's first development in Saudi Arabia. Eric has a comment, quote, "We're thrilled to expand our footprint in the Middle East and bring the Trump standard of luxury to the region through our long-standing relationship with Dar Global. This collaboration embodies our shared vision of creating landmark developments that exude luxury, quality, and sophistication." The announcement also comes weeks after the developer Dar Global announced a licensing deal for a $500 million Trump International Hotel complex in Oman. That's not owned or operated by the Trump Organization. They just sell the name. Further developments in the Middle East, like this, says The Hill, could raise concerns about conflicts of interest if Trump is reelected. Well, that would be a good reason not to. The Saudi crown prince, Mohammed bin Salman, that's free-range Salman, said last year he plans to keep his $2 billion investment with Kushner's hedge fund. That's what it's there for. And unchanged if Trump is elected again. The investment, you recall, came just after Trump left office. It raised questions of a potential quid pro quo between Trump and Saudi leadership. Nah. You gotta be kidding. Or you gotta be serious. And now news for people who have been chugging brominated vegetable oil. It's in food and soda. And the Food and Drug Administration said this week it's going to revoke the regulation that authorized the use of BVO, brominated vegetable oil, in food items effective August 2nd, as it was, according to Reuters report, no longer safe. It stopped being safe? It was never safe. BVO is a chemical ingredient containing bromine, which is found in fire retardants. Don't you want some fire retardant in your soft drink? Ladies and gentlemen, come on. Small quantities of BVO are used legally in some citrus-flavored drinks to keep the flavor evenly distributed. You don't want it clumping up, do you? The FDA said it had concluded that BVO was not safe for use after the results of studies it conducted in collaboration with the National Institutes of Health. Those studies found the potential for adverse effects in humans, just in humans. The agency first proposed to revoke the regulation November last year. BVO was, you might be interested to know, banned in the UK in 1970. Now they're after pigeons. Or pigeon racing. followed by India in 1990, the EU in 2008, and Japan in 2010. Apparently, the news of its lack of safety traveled slowly to us. In 1970, the FDA concluded that its use in food was not generally recognized as safe because of toxicity concerns. 1970. After this, the agency began regulating BVO as a food additive while conducting safety studies. As per FDA rules, whenever a company used the ingredient in any product, it had to put it on the label. Over time, many beverage makers have replaced BVO with an alternative ingredient, according to the FDA. Quote, today, few beverages in the U.S. contain BVO. Pepsi and Coca-Cola have removed it from their drinks, like Gatorade and Fanta. Sundrop, manufactured by Dr. Pepper, now called Keurig Dr. Pepper. Everybody's merging, still uses BVO. This is probably the biggest national brand that still uses it. And they're going to have to stop. People say no to BVO. And now, the apologies of the week.
We're so sorry.
Got a lot of them this week. Sioux Falls Mayor Paul Ten Haken apologized this week for cancellation of the 4th of July celebration in his city. Quote, we owe the community an apology, he said in a Facebook Live broadcast right after 9 a.m. the 4th of July. He did the broadcast with his 11-year-old daughter, who said she wasn't happy with the cancellation because the sun was out. Ten Haken said no one expected the blue skies and sun that appeared Thursday morning. He explained city officials were watching forecast models, getting updates on the weather. There was a very, very high likelihood of rain, he said. Entries began to drop out of the parade and the 5K because of the forecast. Based on the weather forecast and the withdrawal of entries, the city decided to cancel the activities. Quote, Ten Haken, we will make next year even better. It's got to be better. Unless you cancel the parade then. Brazilian officials apologized Friday after police officers were filmed in an armed confrontation with the children of ambassadors from Canada, Gabon, and Burkina Faso. Surveillance footage from the incident Thursday night in Rio showed police exiting a vehicle and rushing with guns drawn toward a group of four teens. Two of the teens are then put up against a wall and frisked before being released by police, who departed minutes later. The minors, who live in the country's capital, Brasilia, were on vacation in Ipanema. Not with that girl. It's an affluent neighborhood in Rio. Quote, how are you going to point guns at the heads of 13-year-old boys? Asked the wife of the Gabonese ambassador. Even for adults, you approach me, you ask me first, and then you tell me why you're approaching me, she said. As a result of the confrontation, Brazilian officials met with the ambassadors of Gabon and Burkina Faso to formally apologize. The ambassador from Canada was not present for the meeting. Brazil's military police also released a statement saying the body-worn camera footage of the officers involved would be reviewed. Angela Simmons has apologized for posing with her gun-shaped purse at the BET Awards red carpet. She received backlash on social media. Who doesn't? The entrepreneur and daughter of Run DMC's Rev Run posted a video explaining her wardrobe accessory choice, saying she didn't intend to cause any controversy. I see a lot of conversation around the purse I wore to the awards. Normally, I don't address rumors and stuff, but I'm not like that. I've never been like that. I'm not violent. I've obviously been through a lot of my personal life when it comes to gun violence. It's very personal to me, but I just liked the bag. I thought it was cool and a fashion moment. That was it. I didn't have any intentions of ruffling anyone's feathers. I'm sorry if I bothered anyone. She called the purse, quote, a poor decision, unquote. We call it Warwick. I think the Brits call it Warwick. In any case, the university of that city's conservative association, actually the, that city's, the Conservative Association, I say, issued an apology after recording surfaced of student members singing and dancing to the song Erica, a Nazi anthem, at the group's annual black tie dinner last month. Erica was an anthem used by German Nazi armed forces during World War II. Best war to use it in. It had been composed in 1938 by a Nazi troop leader. Use of the song was criticized by the Union of Jewish Students, who charged the students involved in the incident and engaged in blatant and unhinged support for Nazism. The UWCA said it condemned the behavior exhibited during this video and apologizes for any offense that has been caused. The song Erica was playing for a brief period. Once we became aware of the song being played and what it represents, an exec member spoke to the DJ, and it was immediately turned off. Footage event, according to Sky News, revealed that several members had been dancing and singing to the song. The video ended after a student could be heard stating, quote, "Don't film," unquote. Dayline Yogyakarta, Indonesia, young Chinese badminton player Zha Zhiji, only 17, passed away during a match at the 2024 Asia Junior Championship last Sunday. In response, the Badminton Association of Indonesia has apologized and taken responsibility for repatriating the body to China. Despite the tragedy, the tournament continues. Dayline Seoul, Korea. Renault Korea Motor Company, the South Korean unit of the French auto group Renault, has apologized following an online backlash over purported misandry imagery contained in the company's YouTube videos. Misandry is the counterpart of misogyny, as you know. Renault Korea blocked public access to videos that have been available on Renault Inside, one of its corporate YouTube channels, after it was learned that multiple videos showed footage of a female employee doing a finger-pinching hand gesture, widely seen as a dog whistle among radical feminists for misandry, or hatred of men, in South Korea. Quote, "We sincerely apologize once again to everyone who felt discomfort due to our recent internal promotional content," Renault Korea wrote on its community bulletin board. Company said it has launched an internal investigative committee. It is also preparing measures to improve the content production and review process to prevent similar incidents from occurring. The employee in question posted a personal statement on the YouTube channel's community bulletin board over the weekend, saying that she was aware that a certain hand gesture was considered problematic and seen as a hateful move. She said she did not realize the hand gesture she used in the video she herself created could be interpreted in that way. The worker's statement was later removed. It takes care of that. BrainCypher, the group responsible for hacking into Indonesia's temporary national data center and disrupting the country's services, has seemingly apologized for its actions and released an encryption key to the government. Its efficacy has not yet been confirmed. Quote, "Citizens of Indonesia, we apologize for the fact that it affected everyone," unquote, the team, in a statement shared by Singapore-based dark web intelligence outfit Stealth Mole. In the statement, BrainCypher detailed it was releasing the decryptor of its own accord without prodding by law enforcement or other agencies. It did, however, ask for public gratitude for its magnanimous behavior and even provided an account at which it could receive donations. After it was on the receiving end of immense online blowback in response to its use of stock photos as samples for its S9 camera, Panasonic has launched an internal inquiry to find and remove any other such cases from its Japanese website. After the Lumix S9 was announced, that's a new Panasonic camera, photographers in Japan noticed that the Japanese Lumix S9 product page featured several photos that weren't captured with the new camera, made worse by the fact that one was immediately found on Shutterstock and several others were captured by a Nikon ambassador. Once the discovery gained greater exposure, Panasonic updated its website to clearly indicate which were not captured with the S9, eventually removed and replaced all the stock images. Company representative did a public apology in the Sankai Shimbun, a newspaper. And now apologies from the sports world. Shaquille O'Neal issued an apology to Drake during an episode of, quote, The Big Podcast, unquote. Shaq had shared an edited photo of himself on a boat with a girl in a bikini whose face was replaced with Drake's face as the Metro Boomin diss track BBL Drizzy played in the background. This is according to People Magazine. People Magazine. Quote, let me apologize right quick. I sent out a picture the other day. The mistake I made was that I should have said, who did this? Because I want Drake to know. O'Neal began, referring to the edited image, which he didn't create. He continued, quote, listen, Drake has a great sense of humor, so I thought it was funny that they did it. I don't want him to think like I saw Shaq's trolling. No, I'm not trolling. Somebody photoshopped it, and I actually saw it, and I took the picture. So, Drake, I apologize. I should have put who was this on there because I don't want you to think that I did that. Somebody sent it to me. I thought it was funny, and hopefully you thought it was funny too. But once it went viral, I definitely took it down. But so, my bad, Big Drake, unquote, Little Shaq. And finally, Simone Biles says time has granted her wisdom about her old jokes regarding her former team captain, Ellie Reisman. During a press conference, Biles reflected on how her age has impacted her mindset as a competitive athlete. According to Gymnastics Now, the four-time Olympics gold medalist included her current perspective on Reisman's age at the U.S. Women's Olympics women's gymnastic in 2016. Biles explained that Reisman's age led to her being called grandma by team members, herself included. Quote, so now I definitely have to apologize to Allie for calling her grandma because, woo, I feel like I'm way older now than me calling her grandma when we were younger. Unquote, her alleged quip. Biles was 19 when she competed at the 2016 Summer Olympics in Rio. Now at 27, Biles is 5 years older than Reisman was when they took on Rio. The apologies of the week, a copyrighted feature of this broadcast.
Skull, I dream.
Sellout. These folks looked at the possibilities, and they chose a reverse mortgage loan from ASS. What do they know that you don't? They loved their homes. They wanted to stay there. Then they made up their minds. Then, stuff happened.
It was the best thing I ever did.
Really?
Yes. Until I lost my house.
Look, if I thought a reverse mortgage loan was just a way to take your home, I wouldn't be here. That's why I didn't read the stuff I was sent. So why don't you do what these folks did? Check it out. Don't notice what's missing. And then make the right choice. A reverse mortgage loan from ASS. It's the best move you can make. For us.
From Santa Monica, this is Le Show. And now, just a note from the Crypto Winter Desk. Silvergate Bank's parent company, Silvergate Bank is a crypto-friendly bank, settled charges with the Securities and Exchange Commission, Federal Reserve, and the California Department of Financial Protection and Innovation. The suit alleges it failed to maintain a proper anti-money laundering program and made misleading disclosures about the program's effectiveness. Silvergate Capital Corporation, parent of the bank, whose 2023 collapse amplified the industry's crisis, has agreed to pay $63 million to settle U.S. and California regulators' accusations of internal management failings, and the disclosure to investors of bad information. We hate that. Now let's get smart.
It's a smart world after all. It's a smart world after all. It's a smart world after all. It's a smart, smart world.
Well, it's humans one, robots nothing. Amazon is axing its Astro for Business Robotic Security Sentry. It's just 7 months since they announced the thing. This is from the British Tech Journal Register. The official kill command will go out in late September. It'll halt the mechanical guards for good and wipe all user data from their memory. Amazon said that in an email to customers. Quote, "We're fully committed to our vision of bringing world-class computer robotics solutions to the home. To accelerate our progress and ongoing research to make Astro the best in-home robot, we've made the decision to wind down support for Astro for Business," unquote. It was announced back in November. Astro for Business was envisioned as a mobile patrol bot that could watch over inventories, for example. The robot was designed to integrate with Amazon's Ring Protect, Astro Secure, and Virtual Security Guard services. The last one allowed a remote agent to take control of the bot to investigate disturbances. All of this would set you back $2,349.99 for the droid, and between $20 and $99 a month, depending on your subscription plan. So Astro is seemingly not all that popular with businesses, so Amazon has decided to shift its focus, as you gathered from that statement, toward developing consumer robotics platforms for home users. To this end, Amazon is careful to note that its Astro household robot, which is currently only available by invite — you have to invite a robot — has not been shelved and continues to be supported. So if it's supported, why is it invitation only? Ask the robot. Now, news of the godly. It's not just Christians and Jews, ladies and gentlemen. A woman accusing a religious leader of exploiting and sexually abusing her told the High Court in England he has done it to hundreds of his followers over the last 40 years. Rajinda Kalia is accused of grooming disciples at his temple while subjecting women and underage girls to sexual abuse. Kalia, head priest at a Hindu temple in Coventry, England, disputes the claims against him, saying they're part of a financially motivated conspiracy. He's head of the Seed Baba Balak Nath Ji Society, a religious organization, with too many words, which professes the founding principles of the Hindu religion. Kali allegedly said he could heal the sick and used videos of parlor tricks to give the impression he could work miracles by squeezing blood from lemons and setting water on fire. Four women have claimed they were sexually abused by him, with three more alleging they were financially exploited. One alleged victim claims to have been sexually abused more than 1,320 times over two decades. Another said she suffered abuse as a child, which made her fail her school exams. A third said her virginity was taken in a rape in a Birmingham hotel. The fourth claims to have been hugged and kissed inappropriately when she was as young as four, before having her virginity taken as a young adult. Three other claimants alleged being subjected to financial abuse, costing them hundreds of thousands of dollars while part of the community. Kalia, 68, denied being a fake guru. The hearing continues.
Life is just a bowl of cherries. Don't make it serious. Life's too mysterious. You work, you save, you worry so. But you can't take your dough when you go, go, go. So keep repeating, it's the berries. The strongest oak must fall, must fall. The sweet things in life to you were just loaned. So how can you lose what you've never owned? Life is just a bowl of cherries. So live and laugh.
so how can you lose what to you've never owned?
Life is just a bowl of cherries, many cherries. So live and laugh,
you know, like
ha 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 ha.
Life is just a great big bowl of cherries, 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 cherries.
One more note of news of the godly. The Sanctuary of Lourdes, one of the world's most popular Catholic pilgrimage sites, will not, for the moment, remove mosaics made by a prominent Slovenian Jesuit priest because he's accused of sexual abuse. This according to the local bishop. Father Marco Ivan Rupnik, whose mosaics adorn about 200 churches and chapels around the world, as well as the Vatican, has been accused of sexual and psychological abuse by about 20 people, mostly former nuns. Rupnik has yet commented on the allegations. The Jesuit last year called them very highly credible and expelled him. Both the Jesuit order, to which Pope Francis belongs, and the Vatican have launched investigations. Rupnik mosaics adorning the facade of Lourdes Rosary Basilica will one day need to be removed, Lourdes Bishop Jean-Marc Mika said in an interview with a French Catholic newspaper. The mosaics, he says, quote, prevent Lourdes from reaching all the people for whom the sanctuary's message is intended, but I've decided not to remove them immediately, given the passions and violence the subject incites, unquote. He said as a first step, they would no longer be illuminated during nighttime processions. Lights out, Rupnik. Last week, the head of the Vatican's Commission Against Child Abuse, Cardinal Sean O'Malley, urged Vatican institutions to stop displaying Rupnik's artworks to avoid a suggestion of indifference to the suffering of victims. Enough news of the godly for now, but now, news of the warm. When Microsoft pledged 4 years ago to remove more carbon than it emits by the end of this decade, it was one of the most ambitious and comprehensive plans to tackle climate change, reports Bloomberg. Not the guy, the service. Now the software giant's relentless push to be the global leader in artificial intelligence is putting that goal in peril. The Seattle-based company's total planet warming impact is about 30% higher today than it was 4 years ago, according to the latest sustainability report published this week. That means getting to below zero by 2030 even harder than it was when it was announced as its carbon negative goal. Now, to meet its goals, the software giant will have to make serious progress very quickly in gaining access to green steel and concrete and less carbon-intensive chips, says Brad Smith, president of Microsoft, in an exclusive interview with Bloomberg. Quote, in 2020, we unveiled what we called our carbon moonshot. That was before the explosion in artificial intelligence, he said. So in many ways, the moon is five times as far away as it was in 2020. If you just think of our own forecast for the expansion of AI and its electrical needs, unquote. You see, AI needs scads of electricity for the computing that it requires. Massive computing. Microsoft's predicament is one of the first concrete examples of how the pursuit of AI is colliding with efforts to cut emissions. Choosing to capitalize on its early lead in the new market for generative AI has made Microsoft the most valuable company in the world on some days, but its leaders also acknowledge keeping up with demand will mean investing more heavily in polluting assets. Microsoft has to build new data centers that requires carbon-intensive cement, steel, and microchips. The tech giant plans to spend more than $50 billion between last July and this past June on expanding its data centers to meet rising demand for AI products. That number for the next 12 months, starting now, is expected to be even higher. Smith, the president of Microsoft, believes the good AI can do for the world will outweigh its environmental impact. Quote, "We fundamentally believe that the answer is not to slow down the expansion of AI, but to speed up the work needed to make it more environmentally friendly. I guarantee there's one way to fail. It's to give up." Unquote. Some Microsoft employees are speaking out about the company's other AI-related work to enhance oil extraction. More than 10,000 employees have formed a group that wants Microsoft to reduce its global warming impact. Some have quit in protest. This isn't a challenge for Microsoft alone. Its competitors in the AI race, Google, Meta, and Amazon, are companies that all set ambitious climate goals, but have seen their total emissions increase. AI must win. And speaking of winning, news of the Olympic movement. Produced by Jim Ebersol III. Well, the Olympics is coming up later this summer. It's supposed to be a big event. NBC is going to spend a lot of money on convincing us that it is. But this from Reuters. Spiraling travel and accommodation costs, French political tumult, and security concerns are discouraging many sports fans and visitors from attending the Paris Olympic Games this summer. Cities that win a coveted chance to host the world's biggest sporting event often do so on expectations that they will attract throngs of visitors to showcase themselves and boost their economy. Just ask Montreal. But Paris has a handful of factors going against it that have held down bookings. Flight bookings to the French capital, an indicator of tourist activity, are expected to increase by 10% year on year from June 6th, according to flight ticketing data from Forward Keys. That, though, is a stark contrast to the 115% increase in tourist arrivals for the 2016 Rio Games. Even the Tokyo Olympics, held during the pandemic, saw a 20% increase. Data from Paris-based consultancy MKG shows hotel reservations have dropped since last year for the weeks ahead of the Olympics, along with a 25% revenue decline for much of June. The data, alongside interviews with travel agents, sports fans, and ticket sellers, show high prices and security concerns are making the most ardent Olympic fans reluctant to attend. Quote, "Right now, it's the lowest bookings we've seen in 25 years for almost any sports event." Unquote, Alan Bashand, a sports travel agent based in the United States. But, ladies and gentlemen, it's the Olympics. It's not just an event. It's a movement. And we all need one. Every day!
Daughters both at once say, "Can we just get going, please? As his wife begins to sneeze and his son is throwing peas and eating with his feet. He's an action hero and he should be fighting crime, leaping between the buildings and racing against time. He's an action hero, he's an action hero in his mind. By Mount Sinai, where they're running through some tests, and they've taped things to his chest, and they're all doing their best to make him feel at ease. The doctor says it's really just an educated guess. I suggest you get some rest. Try to cut back on the stress, 'cause I don't like what I see.
Racing.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are in the middle of should I stay or should I go? I have one suggestion, borrowed from the past of the felonious opponent. How about celebrity presidency? Imagine the reaction when the foreign ministers of all the G7 see Brad Pitt walking in beside the president. Okay, you've imagined enough. That's it for this week's edition of the show. Back next week, same time, same station on the radio side, or whenever you want it, on your audio device of choice. Don't quit on me now. See you then. A tip of the show chapeau to the San Diego desk, to Pam Halstead and to Thomas Walsh at WWNO New Orleans for help with today's program. The email address for this program, your chance to get Cars I Talk t-shirts, just one more time maybe. And the playlist of what you hear here, musically, all and more at harryshearer.com. And, yeah, I'm still on the thing called X at the Harry Shearer. The show comes to you from Century Progress Productions and originates through the facilities of WWNO New Orleans, flagship station of the Change is Easy Radio Network. So long from the home of the homeless.